time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Speaking about the best that nature has to offer, my guest in the studio today, my good friend, one of the country's top naturalists, educator, and author, David Alexander. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Wonderful to be back.
You know something, David? Today, our topic is national parks, because as you know, they are celebrating 100 years of service.
That's right.
You know, and our national parks, and we could spend days and days speaking about all the national parks, but I've selected a few that I know, you know, you and I in our discussions and our travels, to, you know, whether we're snowshoeing or fishing or kayaking or hiking or something, or birding or filming, because you've been on, filmed some of the Joey B TV adventures. I selected three of them that are sort of in one region of the country that if we were going to speak about, like, what national parks means to us as a society, as a person, these would be them. And I've got to start, obviously, with Yellowstone National Park. So when I say that to you, what comes to your mind right away?
Oh, wow. It's like Disneyland for nature lovers.
I've never heard it referred that way. That's really what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, well, it's like being in the field guide, you know, you might, some places you might live, you might not see very much wildlife, But you know, if you're reading a book all about wildlife and then you go into Yellowstone, you know, there it all is. It's right there, right out in front of you, easily accessible to see.
Well, the reason why I call Yellowstone my playland, by the way, because a lot of my research, whether it was grizzly bear research or plant research, yeah, was right outside of Yellowstone. So yeah, every summer I would just end up back in Yellowstone. But also learning the history, and that's why, because we're talking about celebrating 100 years of service, that the first national park was Yellowstone National Park. Teddy Roosevelt created it. And by the way, Teddy Roosevelt, and this many years ago, was a big-time hunter. And what he wanted to do was to bring kings and presidents of other countries to a place that he could show off the splendor of our country. And the lodge that is there was the actual lodge that they would have lived in at that time when he was bringing them there. And David, when you get into the lodge, tell me what your thoughts about, like, just looking inside that lodge.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those places you just stop. You just stop in your tracks and just look all around, and you can't believe the immensity of it, of what they created out there, really in the middle of what was a wilderness.
And it's funny that you walk in, and one of the photo ops, and families are always doing this, there's more than one, but one of the fireplaces is just so large. If you've got a family of 15, they could stand inside that fireplace. And no offense, I mean, I love log cabins and been in many log cabins. Nothing with the splendor of that.
Yeah, log cabin doesn't quite describe it. This is one of the magnificent structures.
Now, Yellowstone, if you were going to select something out in Yellowstone that's, you know, because many of our listeners, I'm sure many of our listeners have been there because they're outdoorsy people, but we have some people that just love nature and listen along to our shows. Sure. If you're going to say, you got to see, what's your got to see in Yellowstone? And that's a tough one, by the way.
Yeah. You know, everybody probably has heard of Old Faithful, but my favorite thing to see in the park is the Grand Prismatic Spring. To see those incredibly large geothermic pools, the bright colors and the bubbles, and to take that sulfuric smell, you know, up through your nose. It's that's an experience.
It's funny that some people that have never had that sulfuric smell go, man, this is nature. But hey, guess what? The geothermals, and there's a lot of naturally occurring sulfur inside the ground. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. And David, the geothermals out there, and you know, we always talk about about Old Faithful, but there are so many other geothermals that are there.
Yeah, the park is just filled with them. And if you do a bit of research and get yourself off the road a bit, it's amazing how many more locations, things there are to see and do.
One of my favorites happens to be the mud pots.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny that, and this is for the listeners out there, because you're listening to something. I am telling you the experience of seeing it, but the experience is listening to the mud pots. And we have actually filmed out there, and that gurgling noise is just so cool.
Yeah, the park really brings in all your senses. You know, we sometimes talk about the beauty of nature, thinking about eyesight. But yeah, when you're in Yellowstone, you're listening, you're smelling. There's some interesting sensory experiences that'll hit you.
Now, and I know this is going to be a tough question about Yellowstone, because you and I always have this fun conversations anytime we're speaking about it. If you're going to say, my favorite Yellowstone animal is, and I know right away you're going to have to pause because that's the wow.
Yeah, well, the bison is iconic for Yellowstone, and the access to see them is impressive. My favorite trip, I've been to Yellowstone a few times going through during the summer, but one time I had an opportunity to visit in the wintertime, and we took snow machines from the south entrance and had a chance to ride up around the Old Faithful area. But there are a number of bison that were lounging and really just right off the road with close proximity to see. And you could see the their breath fogging in the air as they out of their big furry bodies, and it was just a tremendous experience to see up close.
They are, as you said, iconic is the right word. And here's one of the things, and we'll just share this with everyone out there, which is important. Remember that these are wild animals, and people somehow just, it's because you see everywhere you go, you're going to see, and we'll talk about moose and elk, and they think that they can just get up close and personal with these animals in the photos. And every year, someone is killed out in Yellowstone by a wild animal because they just got so close to it. So it's respecting nature as well.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's funny. As soon as you enter the park, for so many years now, they give you a yellow slip of paper that very clearly lists rules and tips and in multiple languages with pictures, yet there's still incidents every single season.
I actually have one of those with me. Yeah. You enter into the park and they're saying, and just, hey, you know what? It's making good decisions for you, for your family, and for the animals. Yeah. And I'm going to give you my favorite animal. And again, having done research on wolves, and I was actually there when they reintroduced the wolves into Yellowstone. So the wolf in his beauty is out there. But like we always talk about, whatever animal I happen to be looking at that moment just becomes my favorite animal because it's spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of your previous podcasts, you mentioned fishing for, was it the cutthroat trout?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's a tremendous thing to see up close, to see the spots and just to be in the, you know, in such a peaceful river, so immersed in nature, and then to see the beauty of that fish up close. And then of course, you know, I know you're a catch and release guy to let it slip back into the water and see it swim away as quickly as they do.
Oh, it's funny. When they take off, it is like taking off, and it's just that, like you said, there's a beauty to that as well. And I mentioned this, I know the show you're speaking about, and I'm with a group of people, and they're into this cutthroat trout, and I catch my first mountain whitefish out there, never having seen one. They fight like 400,000 times harder than the cutthroat, and they're going, they want cutthroat all day long. And I'm like, I've caught those. I want mountain whitefish, because but again, I'm seeing a new species for myself, you know, the outdoor guy, the environmental scientist, and then all of a sudden the fight, and then, as you mentioned, the release in there. But one of those things, and this is what makes Yellowstone so special, here you are catching that, and I do remember this, sitting on top of a hill, which, again, where we live out in the east, you always see a bald eagle perched in a tree. The highest vantage point above this river happened to be a hill, and there's a full mature bald eagle like 30 feet from me just sitting there, and I'm not catching fish at the moment, and he's probably going, I could get a few out of there if I needed to.
Absolutely.
Now, the geothermals that you mentioned, I remember finishing my research, and obviously I always go to Yellowstone, and Yellowstone has the little clock where they move the hands inside the lodge. And they say every 44 minutes, so I'm going back years ago, every 44 minutes, Old Faithful will go off. Well, think about this. There was an earthquake somewhere, I believe close to Alaska, and it changed the plate tectonics all the way thousands of miles into Yellowstone. And when you go in there now, next to the sign, or the next to the clock, the sign says it will go off about every 95 minutes. So it's changed from the, once again, Old Faithful, right, every 44 to about 95. I don't know if you've seen that sign.
No, I haven't seen that, but yeah, I've been keeping up with it, reading about these changes taking place. The park is really, you know, quite alive, not just above ground, but below ground.
Yes, and as we celebrate the 100 years of service, I'm going to take you a little bit further south to, and there are two national parks that are so close that, you know, when you do one, you have to do the other. And when you look at Backpacker Magazine, and every year they do their top 10 hikes or their top 10 trips that you have to go, these two go there. So I'm only going to give you one of them, and then we'll get to the next one. One is Bryce Canyon National Park. So David, what comes to your mind?
Oh, just the views. It's one of those places. Once you get to, you just can't believe that a place like that exists on Earth. You know, you'd think you were on some other planet. But these incredible views, incredible rock structures. The colors, really, the colors more than anything stand out. Those bright oranges are almost like, in some areas, a peach coloration to the Earth is just beautiful.
Well, let's talk then about how they were created. And think about this. It's called Bryce Canyon National Park because it's like you're going down into a canyon, but they are not canyons because canyons are actually made by rivers, cut out by rivers. Well, this was actually made by underwater currents. So millions of years ago, this is just called, think about a huge bowl-shaped, and underwater currents cut the topography of the floor. And as the waters receded, that's what Bryce Canyon really is. So you're looking at something, and then I always think in my mind, again, I'm walking on an ancient seafloor too, right. So we don't think about like that perspective of it.
Yeah, it's you almost have to close your eyes and just listen to a naturalist tell the story about the creation. It's just that impressive.
And the creation, as you talk about that, the Anasazi Indians, because when you look around, they actually look like figures. And yeah, we know this. You could always try to see a person or something inside of it. Well, the Anasazi Indians, in their culture, the Native Americans who were there, their god, who was coyote and not coyote, an animal, supposedly got mad at some of the Anasazis, and he cast them into stone. And those are the people that you see in the figures in Bryce Canyon. But have you ever seen anything there that resembles a person or a thing? And
oh, sure. Yeah, it's like looking at the clouds. Your imagination can definitely go wild there.
Yes, and I've taken pictures of what I think are like a baker with his hat, and you just see, like you're saying, it's the imagination. And you and I may be looking at the same rock structure, and you're going, no, it's a blank, and I'm going, no, whack. But it's the same deal with the clouds as well. Now, let's go a little bit further south, and this is, if I'm going to give my top 10, which, by the way, this is not a top 10 show, and I'm going to say in my top 3 has to be Zion National Park, and Zion, one of my all-time favorites. Yellowstone is my favorite. So, by the way, if I was going to give you a top 10, Yellowstone is, it would never, ever change, but Zion National Park has to be up there. Your thoughts?
Oh yeah, it's amazing that these parks are in such proximity. First, that you could take a week trip and really immerse yourself in these three different parks we're talking about today, and they're all unique. They're all incredibly unique. And Zion, especially once you get down into the heart of the park, it's just an incredible valley in there, within the canyon walls. That provides this feeling like you're so immersed in part of nature all of a sudden, that just stays with you. One of the popular areas there that I recall is the Riverwalk, getting to walk up this low river, as long as, of course, there's no rain in the forecast, just seeing the canyon walls rise on both sides of you, and hearing the flow of the water and the echoes. And getting a sense of relaxation.
And as you mentioned that, I was told, actually, believe it or not, talking to a family, so think about the impression, not of the adults, but of the high schooler. We're having a conversation, and she says, when you get to Zion, she says, you need to go hike the Virgin River. Yeah. And this is the hike you're speaking about. And you get to that trailhead, and there's a bunch of walking sticks that people have left there. and you begin to walk. And most of the river is like ankle deep, maybe knee deep. The deepest is waist deep. Yeah. And as you're hiking in there, the canyon walls just start to grow taller and taller. And you're looking up, and you're looking up thousands of feet on both sides, and you're inside the canyon. And the words we use, spectacular, this is right. One of the more spectacular sights.
It sure is. Yeah, it's a wonder.
No, that was actually in Backpacker Magazine, they always say the most unique hikes. Oh, and that typically rates as one of the top specific hikes inside our country as one of them. And I'll say this, I would, once again, not a top 10 show. Yeah. I'd say that's the most unique hike that's there. And as we were discussing before, that rivers cut out or make canyons, and all of these were cut out by rivers, you know, millions of years ago. And many of the Westerns were actually filmed out there because of that red rock. Yeah. And you have any thoughts or, hey, watch this. And I know the answer. You have any photos from out there?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could close your eyes and take a photograph and it would turn out beautiful.
that's well said. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. It's, boy, now we're talking about Zion. I haven't been there in a few years. Now I've got to get back there soon. Yeah, I'd love to get a little deeper now that I've, you know, I've explored a number of other parks that I absolutely love, but I haven't been to Zion in a few years. And us talking about it, you know, with the new experiences that I've had and the comfort level that I now have to really explore deeper into a park, I'd love to get back there and really get out into the backcountry for a bit of time.
And as you just see, so you're speaking about that, and this goes with all of our natural parks, and you being a naturalist, me being an environmental scientist, when you got to go for a free nature walk, the naturalists that are in our national parks, there's a brilliance about them.
Yeah. Yeah. They're storytellers and they can really tell you what it is that you're seeing and open up that whole experience on a much, much greater level. So to just walk in there without that background knowledge, you might be missing a lot of the enjoyment. So one of the things I do like to do when I visit a park is take a walk with a naturalist. Often it's one of the first things I'll do to give myself a good background to what I'm going to get to see next. And actually, I'll tell you the truth, my wife and I, we love to do the junior naturalist programs. And some of the junior naturalist programs, now they do have them for older age levels. And it's just a fun thing, a fun way to get involved and learn about the park, even for an adult. I think they do encourage that they are for children, but it's just become a thing that we've kept up with. So now we've got a number of these junior ranger badges that show that we've learned quite a bit about the park. We've joined the ranger on walks, and often it also means maybe you've picked up a few pieces of trash or done some sort of service project in the park. So, you know, if you've got kids and you're taking them to the parks, they will absolutely love getting involved with that junior ranger program.
Well, you know, something, the kid never leaves us. So it doesn't matter what age, because, hey, I know you and I speaking here, we're in the studio today, but if we can be on the trail, of which we must get out on the trail soon together, that is one of the things. And a cool story that goes along with Zion, there's a couple canyons right next to it. One's called Red Canyon, obviously named for all the red rock that's there. And I was talking to a cowboy, and, you know, there's cowboy folklore. And cowboy, I asked him what his name is, and he says his name is Shakespeare. So right away I think, oh, guy's full of garbage. So we're talking, and we decide, we hitch up two horses, and we're riding through Red Canyon. And I think that Shakespeare's just telling me good old, if you've never listened to cowboy stories and cowboy folklore, they're great. So Shakespeare's telling me about, in this canyon we're in, he says, if those of you out there know who Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid are, he says, well, Butch used to steal some cattle down in Mexico when posses were chasing him. He'd go hide in a little cave, and I'm going, yeah. So I'm just listening to what I think is cowboy folklore. We get to a place, because he realizes that I thought he was full of garbage. He says, get off your horse, Joey. Yeah. Go take a look. And those little signs that you see all across the highways that we never stop to read, that are historical little signs, next to this little cave that's like 3 feet tall, and it's the historical sign that talks about Butch and where he used to hide out there. And it's there for, by the way, it's there for anyone. So check out Red Canyon, which is next to Zion National Park. A good horseback ride in, it would be a great hike in there. But there's just, I mean, there are all these really cool things that go along with our national parks. And to end this show, David, is there anything you could say about getting in the outdoors that would just encourage people to visit our national parks?
Oh, yeah. You know, maybe just the, the ability to take a family road trip together, I would say that's something that every family should experience. And the national parks, they're so, it's such a value for us. These are our parks, you know, as, you know, as a country, we own them together. So they are yours to explore. So, you know, some of them do have an entrance fee, but it's a minimal entrance fee per carload. You can go to these parks and you can have a very inexpensive quality family vacation.
And you mentioned about those, you can actually buy the annual pass that gets you to all the parks, and it's something like $50, whatever it is, for the year, and that gives you entrance. So if you're doing like three and four, think about this, if you're doing three and four parks in one trip, you might go to Yellowstone, you know, 3 or 4 days in a row. So now the cost is like minimal.
Yeah, it's an incredible value. And there's also free access for seniors, and I believe also for fourth graders.
For fourth graders.
Yeah. I think they've got a program going on to encourage fourth graders to get into the parks.
Hey, think about how cool that is. So if you're a fourth grader out there listening to this show, hey, there's something free out there. But David, you know something? Our national parks, and as you said, we all own them. It's part of our country, and it's part of who we are. And there's this great beauty that's out there. And because of people like you, the listeners get to learn a little bit more, appreciate a little bit more. So hopefully we can get them out there. So David, I am thanking you for coming into the studio. And I think when we're off the air, we need to sit down over a little food and figure out our next outdoor adventure. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, David, I thank you so much. And until next time, enjoy life's adventures. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's outdoor adventure. Joey B's outdoor adventure. Joey B's outdoor adventure. Joey B's outdoor adventure.
That was awesome.